Bone-chilling greetings, everyone. Today's music is courtesy of Stick the Landing, Destined to Fail, Fading Point, and Mercedes Luck Benedict. And I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift. Whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from Paris, Texas, to Paris, France, from the Pacific to the Atlantic, from the biggest of cities that never sleep to cozy, sleepy, tiny towns and everything in between. It's greatly appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout out goes to
Upton, Texas, Woodruff, South Carolina, Newport, Wells, Alexandria, Egypt, Revere, Massachusetts, and Salem, India. We are diving deep into part 13 of Rocker Deaths. This is segment B, as this was a two-parter for the Ramones. Now, last week we ended things with Joey Ramone and Dee Dee Ramone. And today we end with the other two original band members that completed the Ramones, of course. Enter Johnny Ramone and Tommy Ramone. John William Cummings, better known as Johnny Ramone, was born in Queens, New York, and he was the band's guitarist. Johnny grew up in a strict household, his father never ever cutting him any slack, not even an ounce, even when he was injured. In Johnny's own words, quote,
"My father would get on these tangents about how he never missed a day's work. I broke my big toe on the day I had to go pitch a little league game, and he's going, 'What are you, a baby? What did I do, raise a baby? You go play.' And even though my toe was broken, I had to go pitch the game anyway. It was terrible."
Now, sadly, he had no siblings, and all of his father's strict demands and attention were aimed right directly at him. Now, I have to kind of sympathize here because having strict and mean parents, because that wasn't the case, but when it comes to the broken toe, that was a big toe. I can only imagine. I have broken both of my little toes before, and it was so excruciating, and it stayed painful for quite a long time. So anyways, as a young teen, Johnny was in a band with his friend Thomas Erdeley, and I know I said that name wrong, who would later be known as the drummer for Ramones, Tommy Ramone, who I will talk about here in a few minutes. And as teens, their band was the Tangerine Puppets. That is so cute. Love it. As a young man, he had become friends with Douglas Colvin, a future Ramone, Dee Dee, who I talked about in last week's episode. They truly bonded over their shared passion for music. Many hours were spent between these two young men just talking about their favorite bands and everything music. Now, one day, the two young men go on a trip to a music store in New York City. Johnny purchases a used blue guitar, and Dee Dee, he buys a Dan Electro bass. Add a Joey Ramone here, and a Tommy Ramone there, and they were on their way to some major fucking rocking.
I see a man standing in my doorway. Darkness in his eyes. The light can shine down here. Rises up and flies away from me. To the children laying under the trees. Have
In 1983, Johnny Ramone is severely injured after an altercation with Sub-Zero Construction's frontman, Seth Macklin. He had arrived to his Manhattan apartment early one morning after a show, only to find his then-girlfriend, a woman named Cynthia, sitting on the stoop with Macklin. He was not feeling good about this at all. He could see that Cynthia was not in her right mind, whether it be drugs or alcohol or both, I don't know. And he felt the need to get her into his apartment and away from Seth. And a fight takes place. Seth took offense to this, and a street fight occurs that almost claims Johnny's life. Seth had claimed to police that he struck Johnny a couple times, but it was only to defend himself. Johnny falls to the ground, and in the process of doing so, he hits his head on a nearby car door, then hitting the hard, unforgiving concrete below. Ramone would share with the New York Times that while he was down on the ground, Seth kicked him in the head, knocking him out, and it fractured his skull. Johnny had to have an emergency surgery conducted on his brain, but it didn't hold him back for too long from his passion, music, of course.
I was ready to play in 3 months, and our next album would be titled Too Tough to Die.
Macklin was charged with first-degree assault and would be sentenced to a few months in jail. Slap on the wrist, if you ask me.
Wait, give me just 1 second. Give me like 2 minutes. Something's coming down upon my head. Too late. I keep thinking something about all of the things that I must do while I'm still away.
Now, Johnny stirs up some major shit, poking the bear, if you will, stealing honey from bees. When he starts something with his friend and bandmate Joey Ramone's then-girlfriend. She leaves him for Johnny, breaking Joey's heart. It's a harsh blow for sure. One of your closest friends, someone you consider a brother, you're in a band for several years, and out of all the broads on this green, blue, whatever the hell you want to call it, earth, you have to go for that specific woman? To say there was bad blood between these two men, well, it's an absolute understatement. Johnny would go on to marry this woman, and they remained man and wife until his death in 2004. There was no longer a friendship between Joey and Johnny. But Ramones continued to perform together, believe it or not. I'm sure that was no easy feat for either of them, but especially Joey, who lost both a brother and a lover. After Ramone's disbandment, Johnny does an interview with Concert Live Wire, and he is asked, "What songs do you most enjoy performing live?" And he answered this.
"As far as my favorite songs to perform live, most of the songs we did live were my favorite. If they weren't, I would have gotten rid of them."
Now, I found an article about Johnny Ramone in Rolling Stone, and it was interesting and sad, and I want to read a part of that now. Quote, "I'm here because one night in May, 4 months before Johnny Ramone succumbed to cancer, I got a call from Kirk Hammett, the lead guitarist for Metallica, and this was a surprise. I had never met Hammett, and rock stars almost never would just call me out of the blue. He was phoning because he had an unnamed friend who had cancer really bad, and I could see where the conversation was going. I had been getting these calls ever since I wrote a Rolling Stone feature about Adam, the teenage energy healer in Vancouver. And I told Hammett that I could alert Adam's family that he was sending an email, but that was it. I'll just tell you who it is then," said Hammett. "It's Johnny Ramone." And this was a kick in the stomach. We talked for a while about loving the Ramones, how their music changed everything when their first album came out in 1976, how Johnny's machine gun down, stroking, excited Hammett as a kid learning the guitar. And we talked about the Ramones finally receiving the recognition they deserved with their 2002 induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and how Joey Ramone had died the year before of lymphoma and how bassist Dee Dee Ramone died a few months later of an overdose. And now this thing with Johnny, it was too awful to think about. I said yes, I would put in a word with Adam. I also asked if Hammett thought Johnny might want to talk for a publication. A few weeks later, I'm at Ramone's house.
It only hurts when I sit down or stand up,
said Johnny, wincing as he leaned back on the couch. Johnny was born John Cummings in Queens, New York in 1948, not 1951 as the official bios state, to a construction worker father and a waitress mother. In 1974, he settled on his famous Ramone's bowl cut, and he retained it in its entirety for 30 years, until his first round of chemotherapy. The hair came back, but so did the cancer, so he was bald again and self-conscious. Of all the Ramones, he was the most obsessed with how the band presented itself on stage and in the press. Pale and fragile, he didn't much resemble the guy who owned the stage at Joey Ramone's right hand.
It was more traumatic the first time it fell out,
said Johnny.
Between that and everything else that was happening, yeah, it was very hard. You don't have much of a choice. You just have to make the best of it. Sometimes you wonder, is this worth it? I don't know. They tell me I'm doing better. It's just a matter of getting over all these side effects. There's always something, though. I'm always sick.
This was a really interesting read for sure, and if you want to read more in its entirety, I would go to rollingstone.com for sure and go look it up. And it is amazing how that all happened with that phone call from Metallica's Kirk Hammett and how this conversation takes place and they bond. And then, hey, like a few weeks later, he's at the dude's house. Like, that is pretty wild stuff to me for sure. Now, September 15th, 2004, less than a month shy of his 56th birthday, John William Cummings, also known as Johnny Ramone, passes away in Los Angeles after a horrendous 5-year battle with prostate cancer. While his widow kept his ashes, there is an absolutely impressive life-size monument of him at the phenomenal cemetery, one of my favorites actually, Hollywood Forever Cemetery. This is a monument to definitely check out if you ever visit this iconic burial ground. I always check it out when I go. And I did not know this, but Dee Dee Ramone's final resting place is not too far from Johnny's memorial. I may have even passed it. I'll have to look him up when I'm there too next time. And Johnny is a stone's throw away from one of my favorite guys, Chris Cornell's final resting place. I swear, you come here and you will see so many names that you know from movies and the music industry and just everything you could think of, including Estelle Getty from Golden Girls, Alfred Hitchcock. Just, it's definitely a place worth a visit. And our last Ramone, but certainly not least, lived longer than the others. And his name is Thomas, or in some accounts I saw Tamus, Erdilay. And I know I said that wrong again. Better known as Tommy Ramone. He was born in Budapest, Hungary, and was active in music up until his death in 2014. Now, Tommy's parents, they survived the Holocaust. Their neighbors actually hid them, saving their lives. But sadly, many of the family members would be murdered by the Nazis. In 1957, his family makes the move to America. As mentioned earlier, in high school, Tommy and Johnny start a band called Tangerine Puppets. Again, so cute. Love it. After high school, Tommy continued down that path of music. He was an assistant engineer at Record Plant Studio. And one of the projects he worked on was Jimi Hendrix's album, Band of Gypsies. Not bad for a kid right out of high school. I mean, talk about a dream job, right? Now, he talks about that experience in an interview with Tape Op. The question they asked was, so how was it working with and being in the presence of Jimi Hendrix? And this was Tommy Ramone's response. Working with Hendrix was something else. I was still quite young and he was at the height of his fame. To me, it was like working with the gods. We would set up two full stacks of marshals as if he was playing live. He wanted to be able to get lots of sustain and feedback. And since the studio was a large room, we had plenty of space to build the sound. We mic'd the amps with Neumann U87s, which were new at the time. For the bass, we used Ampegs, the precursor to the SVT. I don't recall the model, but they were large. This was the Band of Gypsies, with Buddy Miles on the drums. In those days, we did not use too many mics on the drums. There was a theory that if you used too many, there would be phase problems. We used an Electro Voice Dynamic for the kick, a Shure or AKG Dynamic for the snare, and one U87 for the overhead. That was it. For Mountain, we used Sun Amps for both guitar and bass. I think we just started to experiment with DIs for the bass, and this was to be the Mountain Climbing album, unquote. The Ramones lineup, the original lineup, mind you, was Dee Dee as the lead singer, Joey was the drummer, Johnny was the guitarist, and Tommy was the manager. But things changed, as we know, when Joey becomes the singer, Dee Dee as bassist, and Tommy, who at that time did not have any real drum experience, becomes the band's drummer, kills it, does an amazing job. Really, the only person who stayed in their same role consistently was Johnny Ramone as the guitarist. During that same interview that I just read from with Tape Op, he talks about producing some of the Ramones albums.
So you produced and co-produced the first few Ramones records.
And this was Tommy's response. After the record plant, I got a job at a film company. My new interest was avant-garde films. Soon after, I got involved with a recording rehearsal studio called Performance Studios. My friend and business partner, Monty Melnick, who was to become the Ramones tour manager, and I had a great place that attracted many of New York's best bands. It was there that I got involved with the Ramones. What happened was that I saw a group called the New York Dolls, and the idea hit me that what was going to be important in the coming days was not so much musical virtuosity, which was everywhere, but a new kind of thing where ideas mattered. We wanted to bring back the essence of primal rock and roll. I was trying to figure out how to do that, and I thought of the friends I grew up with in my hometown of Forest Hills, Queens. I thought those guys would make a great group. They could play as good as the Dolls, and they were very colorful people, and so I got in touch with them and eventually got them to put a band together, which was the Ramones. I was originally their manager, but later I ended up playing the drums as we had trouble finding anyone capable of picking up the style of drumming that we needed. Fortunately, the guys in the Ramones turned out to be not only colorful, but also very, very talented. They were coming up with these fabulous original songs. We soon had something really powerful going. When we first went in the studio to cut our demo, we were coming up with some unique recording ideas for the times. We decided to go backwards a bit. We decided to use hard left and right ping pong stereo effects like we heard on old Beatles records. We wanted to make a record that sounded different. We ended up transferring those experiments onto our first album. Shadows of the Tommy Ramone had bile duct cancer, and he had a treatment for this cancer, and unfortunately it proved to be unsuccessful, and he is put into hospice, and he dies a short time later, July 11th, 2014, dying in New York City at age 65.
And that concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others, they're all awesome. Haven't heard every single one yet? No need to lose a wink of sleep over it. Just hit up any of those podcast platforms where you can binge listen to your heart's fright and delight, such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Pocket Casts. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and I will
see you next week.